they have. Okay? And so you find that jealousy, people get jealous about things with what other individuals have. This wrath, hot anger, and passion. And so these are matters of an outburst of wrath, of an inward indignation. He expects us to be in control. Factions, which is strife, quarrel, especially rivalry, contention, or wrangling, exertion or contention for superiority. And that happens a lot. Happens in the church, happens in the government, happens in the families. It's one that we must make sure that we are avoid of having it a part of our life. And here's just the last few. Divisions, parties, envyings, drunkenness, which is habitual intoxication, revelings, a carousing, if you will, of letting loose. When I think about this one, I think about Aaron. When Moses asked him, why did you let them loose? And they were eating and drinking and playing in there at Mount Sinai. Falls under that category in regard to it. And then he says, of such like. If anything else falls into that kind of category, then we are to avoid that, because the Apostle Paul then identified when he said in verse 21 of Galatians chapter 5 that he said, I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so all of these are habits that will promote ungodliness. So what is it that promotes godliness? We want to know what that is so we can be doing these things, that it will help us not walk in the way of the world. We find in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8 where Paul talks about that you think on these things. What things? Virtue. Properly denotes whatever procures preeminent estimation of a person or thing, hence intrinsic, eminent, moral goodness. And if there's any virtue, okay, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, which is concretely and commendable thing, of whatsoever is praiseworthy, if it's a virtue and praise, think on these things. What are they? We find, first of all, he says that it's whatever is true. And that's conforming to reality. True is not concealed. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable. And in short, we find that it's identified of that of where Matthew Arnold said that the word we want is one in which the sense of gravity and dignity are combined. Whatever is honorable, is it honorable? And if that's a virtue or praise, that if it's honorable, think on these things. Is it just? Is it equitable? Is it the right conduct that we ought to be involved in? Is it pure, properly clean, that is, you know, figuratively innocent, modest, perfect, pure from defilement and contamination? That we are to be pure. Is it pure? We can ask ourselves the question in whatever circumstance we're in. Is it pure? Is it honest? Is it true? These are all virtues that will help us to develop an attitude toward godliness as opposed to ungodliness. Is it lovely? That's friendly toward. That is acceptable, pleasing, agreeable. Is it of good report, well spoken of? That is reputable. These are the characteristics produced through godliness. And that's what we ought to be pursuing within our life. The question is, do you want them? We have a choice in life as to what we're going to do. We need that. Is this the type of life I want? Or do you want to live in the world? It's a matter. Paul said if we just die, if there is no resurrection, then eat and drink for tomorrow, we die. If you're going to serve the devil, you might as well just serve him. Get after it. Get after it. We find that Elijah dealt with them, that you're trying to do this just a little bit. There is no little bit. And so we need to make sure that we have a healthy attitude toward righteousness and godliness. Back in the writing of Titus, in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, as we noted before within this study, that Paul told Titus, he said that for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us. The grace of God is manifested. We can see it. We know it. He's talking about the gospel. The gospel was delivered. He teaches us, instructs us to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. And that's the instructions that we have. And that's what we have to give attention to. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, the Lord indicated when he said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Your body's going to tell you when it wants something to drink or something to eat. But your mind is going to have to tell you in reference to the matter of righteousness. Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness, that which is right wise? That's where that term comes from. And he said, if you do, you will be filled. God will make sure that that's the case. And therefore, he told Timothy, exercise thyself unto godliness, for bodily exercise is profitable for little, but godliness is profitable for all things, has a promise of this life and that which is to come. And all of these matters, he said, exercise, train it, like you would train your body for a particular event. Train it and teach it. And that's what he said. You exercise yourself to that. And in order to do so, we need to take advantage of the divine power that God has promised. In the writing of 2 Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, and verse 3, we find what God has provided for us when he identified that seeing that his divine power has granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How does he do that? Through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue. And in that, the objective is that you may become partakers of the divine nature. Is that what you want? Do you want to be a partaker of the divine nature? If you do, it's going to require that you add things to your life that are godly in their source and not ungodly. And therefore, he said in verse 5, yea, and for this very cause, adding on your part all diligence, in your faith supply virtue, and in your virtue knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control patience or steadfastness, and in your patience godliness. You've got to add that to your life. And in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. And here's the promise. For if these things are yours and abound, they make you not idle nor unfruitful under the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10, wherefore, brethren, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never stumble. For thus shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't know how many people have said, well, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't know what relationship I'm in with God. How can I know for sure? Right here. If you do these, you will never stumble. Right. And so that's what we need to add to our life. We find that within the proper manner of life that has to come about, that in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, when he admonishes and he said, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and the works therein shall be burned up. Seeing that these things are thus all to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy living and godliness? This world is temporary, and with that thought in mind, this holy denotes the manifestation of the quality of holiness, that in personal conduct. What manner of life are you? And I believe the term is, of what country are you from? That's actually what it is, that manner of life. What country are you from? You heard somebody say something, and they say, where are you from? You know, you can tell when there's locals. Wherever you are, you know the locals. You say, where are you from? You know, well, that's kind of where it is, that children of God, that matter, we're citizens in the kingdom of God. And he said this manner of life ought to be consistent with that. Godliness denotes pious, devout, godly, indicating reverence, manifested in action. And when we find this, here's those terms. Pious, with reverence and affection for God, religiously, with due regard to sacred things and to the duties God has enjoined. We find that devout is to take hold well, to be cautious and careful as to the realization of the presence and claims of God, reverencing God, to be pious and also that of godly. To be devout denotes that piety which is characterized by a Godward attitude, that God has a right to rule in our life, does that which is well-pleasing to Him. We find that the conduct consists consistent with godliness, as the psalmist said, of who shall sojourn in thy tabernacle? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh truth in his heart. He that slandereth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his friend, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honoreth them that fear God. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to interest, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Now, under the law, they were not allowed to put their money out to interest to the poor, to the Jews. They do whatever they wanted to with the Gentiles. But with their brethren, they couldn't do that. He said, so who is going to sojourn in the tabernacle? This is who's going to do it. And he gives those characteristics. They're all godly actions based upon the right of God to rule in our life, and that He has a right to keep us in out that proper relationship if we will simply seek that godliness. Godliness, an appropriate attitude toward that which deserves reverence. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3, we find the condition of the ungodly is stated. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, or verse 3, chapter 6 and verse 3, when he said, if a man teaches a different doctrine and consenteth not to sound words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is puffed up, knowing nothing, but doubted about questioning and disputes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, eversomizing, wrangling of men, corrupt in mind, bereft of the truth, supposing that godliness is a way of gain. Now these are those that will not teach the doctrine of Jesus Christ. That's where they are. They're ungodly men, and they will not seek the matter of the godliness that they should be offering unto their God. And to the godly, as we read in 2 Peter chapter 1, 3 through 11, we will never stumble. Do this, never stumble. We have that hope, and the choice is yours. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, I identify that your servants to whom it is you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Who is your master? Who is it that you serve within your life? Romans chapter 12 verse 1 and 2 tells us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Do we do that? Do we live a life that our God can look at as He did with Job and have the confidence that if Satan was to launch his attacks, that we would be strong, that we would stand in that evil day? Where are we? What do we want? What do you want within your life? I appreciate your attention and your patience. If you're here tonight and you've not been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, understand that outside of that covenant relationship that provided through the blood of Jesus Christ, you're ungodly. You belong to the devil, and he likes it. Okay? But God does not. He does not have pleasure in the death of the wicked. So he would have you to be saved while you have the opportunity to do so. If you have anything that the brethren can assist you in here that you would like for them to know or to assist you in, the men be happy to do so as together we stand and as we sing.